The book of Luke tonight, chapter number 8. Book of Luke, chapter number 8. I will make an application tonight from some scripture here that we're going to read that really I've never made before. But I think it's apropos, and I trust it'll be really a blessing to you. Chapter number 8, we're going to start in verse number 4 and read down to verse number 15. By the way, I hope that you are taking advantage of the Proverbs messages I've been doing on a daily basis through YouTube. I send that out every day via text. All you got to do is tap on that and takes you right to that. Some are using it for a little time of devotional or break time or whatever. I've heard some good remarks, which I've appreciated. By the way, I've had some folks stop by, some folks call me and just been concerned about me being depressed and all that sort of stuff. And be quite truthful, there are times like that, and I really appreciate those kind of remarks and those things. And I tell you what would really bring me out of any depression would be a trip to Hawaii. So just a little, and we got a missionary over there too, so we can make a mission trip out of it. So, what's that? You mean I have to stay in Hawaii for 2 weeks? We were going to stay on the beach. Mrs. Springer loves sleeping in the sand. I don't even want to look at her. I don't know what kind of face I'm getting right now. All right, verse number 4 says, "When much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Another fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit a hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, 'He that hath ears to hear, let him hear.' And his disciples asked him, saying, 'What might this parable be?' And he said, 'Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that they that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand.' Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, have heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you tonight that we can gather together around the Word of God. We thank you for it so much this evening. We pray that as we look at these verses, and we just might allow the Spirit of God to speak to us, to do a work in our lives. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Most often, these verses are interpreted in the light of the seed being the gospel of salvation. And certainly when you read verse number 12, it talks about lest they would hear, believe, and be saved. And that is a primary application. But I'd like to introduce to you an application that I believe is perhaps just as important. We know some things from this parable. One is we know that there's a sower. We know what he sows, and that is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. It's that which goes into the heart. It germinates. It grows. It does the work that needs to be done. But the Word of God has more message than that of salvation, does it not? The Word of God has salvation, has sanctification, has many blessings. I mean, has prophecy. The Word of God is filled with so much. We find history. it's one magnificent, marvelous book, so which we're thankful for. And so we have this marvelous seed, the Word of God. And I believe here the emphasis can really be thought of as being on you and I hearing the Word of God. For each kind of soil that is mentioned here, he talks about them hearing the Word of God or receiving this seed and then what happens to it as a result of their hearing it. Could we say that the soil of a Christian's heart is likened to this as well? I mean, could we say that there are times that our hearts get trampled by the world? I mean, the world makes a path right through us and just tramples us down and leaves us wondering as to the veracity of God and all that's there. Are we not at times hardened like a rock by the selfishness of our life? Are we not sometimes too cumbered with the cares of this life? We get so overcome with all the needs and the greeds and the things that would bring us pleasure and so forth. And so we get cumbered with all of those cares. And he speaks of these three things. But it could also be that the soil that is good is many times having not as good of effect as it could. And I believe there might be a reason for that. But thank God, when we listen, we can heed the Word of God, and we can allow it to do its work and bring forth and do a work not only in our lives, but it'll be a blessing unto other people. Now, there's a key element here when we overlook, and that is each soil heard. Each soil heard. What kind of soil does the Lord have to contend with in our lives? Now, think about that for a moment. All right, you're saved. And so we're going to make application to the saved person. And so we look at these four different kinds of soil. What kind of soil does he have to deal with in our hearts? We get saved, but oftentimes are not there roadways that are across our hearts and that gets trampled down, the devil comes along and takes away the word? A few years back, I drove by where I grew up at. There's a it's a great big old house we lived in when we lived out just south and west of Mineola, Iowa. And as I was driving past the place, I was looking for an old farmhouse that had been vacant back when I was a kid. And because just before you come upon that, there's a little bit of a hill. And as you come over the hill, there's the farmhouse that I grew up in and spent a number of years there. And so I was coming down the road, and I never saw that farmhouse. After you pass that little farmhouse, there was a road that used to go back to my good friends and the family that lived back there. The name was Heitman. And so I took that road many, many times. And it was a dirt road. Dad would take his tractor and go back that road to the different fields. They would travel that to get to their house that was clear back there. And some of the little bit of it they used to get to their fields as well. And as I looked, the road was gone. It was gone. The house was gone. And I thought, whoa, what took place here? Do you know what roadways, they need to be turned over. If they're in our hearts and our lives, we need to allow God to what? Plow them up so that he can make that ground useful for us. Think about this for a moment. You and I, we allow rocks to come into our life. I mean, we allow things that are, you know, to harden us and so forth, and we allow those things that come in and keep the fruit from bearing, or for the really the plant from coming forth as it should, and those things need to be taken away. In these days, when they would go into a field and they would find rocks, they would take those right rocks to the side of the field, and they would pile them up and make a fence. And so they made something useful with it. And so you and I, we need to allow God to take away the rocks in our lives. Now, some people would say, well, that probably is a few people's brains that I know of. And that may be applied in some cases, I'm not sure. But nonetheless, they need to be taken away. We have weeds in our lives. There's the thorns, those things that must be pulled up. They need to be taken away from our lives, so that the Word of God can come in and have the effect that God wants it to have. But even the good ground, it needs fertilized. Now today, they hook up their spraying equipment, they go out and they put that down, and costs thousands of dollars to spray their fields that it might kill the weeds and might fertilize and so forth. When we were on the farm, we did it quite differently. And we raised cattle and sheep and hogs, and so we had an area right outside the farmhouse, or outside the barn, I should say, that was close to the house too, where the cattle were at for most of the time. So we fed them it. And of course, the cattle, they feed, and guess what they do after they feed? It's like a little kid. If you didn't give any money, you wouldn't any food, you wouldn't have to take care of their diapers. And so cattle don't have diapers, but you got a problem on your hands. And so after some time, Dad would get his tractor, and he had this forklift thing on the front of it, and he would go in and scoop that up and put it in a manure spreader. How many have ever seen a manure spreader? A few of you have. And drop that in there, and it had some roller things in the back of it, and pull it with a tractor, and he'd get out to the field and turn on those roller things, and then it had I can't think of the word I want there. It would push it to the back and spread it all over the field. And then they'd go in and plow that in the field. That was the fertilizer. And so there was a lot of work involved with all that. And so good ground, it needs some fertilizer, and it needs to be worked and stirred up. And it does take work. It's not an easy thing, okay? And so for the Christian, I believe it's necessary that we keep the ground in proper shape in order to receive the Word. Now let me ask you a question. If you read the Word on a regular basis, which I trust you do, are there days that you read it and it's like it just kind of goes? Are there days you read it and you think, what did I just read? Are there times that you sit down and you read and wow, something pops out and you're like, wow, and you read a couple more and pretty soon, wow. And you have about three or four or five wow moments. Other days, there's none of those. And so what's the problem? Oftentimes, I believe we come to the Word of God in our personal reading. We come to the Word of God in church services and teaching times, and we haven't allowed the ground to be properly prepared to receive the Word of God. There's some things we need to do. And so let me just share with you two or three things I believe we need to do. One of the things that must be done in our lives to allow the Word of God to have the impact that it needs to have is to confess our sin quickly and honestly. Our sin separates us from God. Matter of fact, it does not allow us to really have fellowship with the Lord. It's caused a break. It's called a separation. And because of that sin, we're not able to receive from God as we ought to. And I have found one thing. If I'm in a spot where I'm saying, Lord, I don't know what's wrong with me. Show me what's wrong with me. God does it really fast. Do you want a prayer answered fast? Ask God what's wrong with you. And so he opens it up real quick. And what's God want me to do with that? Seek forgiveness. Do so quickly. Do so honestly. Seeking for the forgiveness of Almighty God, that we might be back in fellowship with Him. How are we going to listen to Him if we're not in fellowship with Him? Amen? If you've come tonight and you're mad at me, you're probably not getting much of anything. Just kind of the way that works. Maybe that's why the devil tries to get people mad at the preacher. I don't know. But we need to confess our sin quickly. We need to do so honestly. Number two. And I'm thinking of these different kinds of soil when I say these things. The second thing I would say is watch your affections. Watch your affections. Seriously. What is it that enthuses you? What is it that gets you excited? What is it that you really love? What is it? And we need to, what? Confess our sin, watch those affections, see what they are, and make adjustments accordingly. Watch our affections. I would say another, as I think about taking the stones and putting them in the fence and so forth, also I think about the thorns, you pull them up and getting rid of them, and that is we need to separate from evil influences. There's a lot of evil influences in our lives, is there not? I'm going to tell you this, it probably will not work well to study the Word of God with CNN. It won't do you any more good to do it with Fox. all of those things are going to distract you and going to have some influences. And so we need to separate from those that are evil influences. And I realize we got all these things going on that bothers us and so forth, but when we come to the Word of God, we need to step aside from those things and allow God then to speak to our hearts. Confess our sin quickly, watch our affections, and separate from evil influences, whatever it might be. It might be people in our life, it might be practices in our life that we need to stay away from. Do you realize that there are certain people that will pull you down? Then there's other certain people that will pull you up. Which kind should you get around? I think the pull-ups are better than the pull-downs. Okay? And I don't mean that in baby diaper sense. But separate from evil influences. And the last thing I would say, as I think about this, and a Christian who needs to fertilize and stir up the ground and keep working it and so forth, that is to maintain vigilance. Maintain vigilance. Listen, is the devil at work just part-time? Does he come just every now and then? Do the problems we find here just invade us from moment ever so often? Or is it a constant problem? I think we probably say, yeah, it's pretty constant. And so what do we need? We need to maintain vigilance. We need to keep our eyes wide open to those things. They're going to hurt us. And not come to the spot, and here's what we're trying to say, do not come to the spot where we believe that we have arrived. It's kind of like the guy says, I am humble and I'm proud of it. We have to maintain a vigilance. We need to pay attention. That was the title I put on the message tonight, paying attention. Paying attention to our lives that we might, what? Receive the Word of God. That we might hear it, that it's useful for us. Amen? We understand that with the lost person, but I think sometimes as saved people, we forget that there are things that keep us from allowing the Word of God to have the impact in our lives that it should. I think you're probably built like I am, and you have a problem with that as well as I do. But there's a way to overcome. And so we see that which is wrong in our lives, confess it. We see where our affections are going in the wrong direction, change them. We see influences that are in our life that is not helpful to us, get rid of them. Stay away from them. Maintain a vigilance. Keeping our eyes open. We find, I believe it's in Ephesians, it says, see then as you walk circumspectly. That's an interesting word. Circum, talking about a circle. Speckly, talking about our sight. In other words, making sure that we're looking all around us. That we not stumble and fall. And the Word of God not have its impact. Let God do His work in your life. Amen. First of all, if you're going to hear the Word of God in your own private life, what do you got to do? You got to read it. Amen? You got to read it. Pick it up day after day and read it. And need to make a habit of it. Not just sometimes, but it needs to be every day, every day. Set a time for it. And then perhaps you ought to do a little inner inspection before you begin to read to make sure there's nothing that's going to clog up the works so that as you are reading, you're not really getting what God wants you to have. Because His Word is marvelous, amen? I mean, it is marvelous. And the thoughts and the things that can come to your heart and mind, marvelous it is, and thank God for it. That's how we grow, is from this marvelous seed that God has given to us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. We thank You for this seed that, first of all, brings us to a place of faith, and where we can have salvation. But Lord, we also realize that as Christians, we're still soil, and oftentimes we allow the clutter of this world, we allow the trampling of the devil and all these different things to clog up the works. So Lord, I pray that You would give us a vigilant mind. Help us to look inwardly, to allow you to remove those things which are basically distractions from truth and distractions from that which are blessings. I pray, oh God, for those who are here tonight, you might give them some sweet fellowship. Pray for those who are home tonight for those who are kind of waiting to see results and all those sort of things. I pray, oh God, you might bless them and strengthen each and every one. That through all of this, we might come to understand how marvelously important it is to gather together as your people. As my son said, it was good to view it on the video, but it's nothing like having some people around. And Lord, that's so true. We thank you for that. Bless, we pray, as we go our ways. Keep each one safe. And for that, we give you praise in Christ's name. Amen.